Think of your mindset like a garden. We all have rocks, those big, heavy experiences that have happened in our lives that maybe created the lies that we tell ourselves. And we all have some weeds. Maybe it's the unpleasant experiences that support those lies. And we all do have a beautiful life of flowers. As you said, life is beautiful. And so we truly, I think the biggest myth is that we're stuck with the rocks and the weeds.
This is Mindset Reinvented. As Henry Ford once said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're absolutely right. Today, I am honored to welcome Jamie Crosby to Mindset Reinvented. Jamie is an author, she's a speaker, and she's in sales leadership with over 25 years of experience. She's the founder of Proactivate, which is an elite sales talent acquisition firm, and has authored several insightful books on sales leadership and also on personal development. So Jamie's journey from being a vice president at CareerBuilder to a renowned peak performance coach is truly inspiring. And she's here today to share her wisdom on overcoming limiting beliefs, achieving peak performance, and living a balanced, intentional life. Jamie, I am thrilled that you're here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jack. It's such a pleasure to be with you on the show. It's truly an honor.
Pleasure's mine. So let's dive right into it. It's a lot of juicy content we're going to talk about today.
Great. Let's do it.
Yeah. So you've shared a powerful story about overcoming betrayal. And I think that might be a good place to start. I kind of like shaking things up a little bit. But how did that experience kind of shape your approach to dealing with self-doubt and fear that we all grapple with?
I think that experience, Jack, was almost what solidified my understanding of limiting beliefs and how they can hold you back, because the stakes were high, because it was very personal. And I had two children and, you know, young children at the time. Now they're teenagers. And so with that, I knew after having an experience where, after several years of being married, realizing I didn't really know the person I was married to, that did create this limiting belief in my mind of not trusting my own gut instinct, and realizing that that was holding me back, but having the motivation to change that, just to live my best life for my children and model, you know, that strong positive mindset was motivation to change that and to really understand it and flip the script.
Yeah. You had a big enough why to change that narrative around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Campbell and Caden were my why. They are my why. And it, you know, just understanding what's holding you back and then taking that thought captive and learning how to adjust that was really key in propelling me forward.
You know, and it's an interesting topic, because a lot of us, our brains are so habitual in nature. We have 60,000 plus thoughts in a given day. The good majority of those thoughts, unless we get ahead of it and control it, are not serving us very well.
Exactly. Exactly. 80% of them are naturally negative. So how do we flip the script?
Exactly. So, and I think that there's sometimes a blurred line in terms of what is the truth versus what is not the truth. And from your experience, what is some of the kind of the best practices that you can share to the listeners of our show, how they themselves can identify, put that line in the sand and say, hey, this is negative, this is not serving me well. And on this side, this is the good stuff. This is the stuff I need to hang on to and bring into my psyche. What are some of the tools that they can do?
Well, I would say this. I would say first, it starts with awareness. And that's why I love what you're doing, because just bringing our awareness and understanding of how we think and how we naturally think is really, really key. So that truly is the first step. But I do think the work we can do is going back to to understanding what the lies we tell ourselves are. When did they start? How did they start? And then realizing that we can choose to essentially throw that lie out of our mindset garden, right? That's a rock or a weed, and we don't need it in our garden. And so what can we replace that lie with? So I shared with you prior to recording that I have an upcoming TED Talk in October. It is literally called, I didn't get to tell you this, but I love this question because it's called Liar, Liar, Life on Fire. And it's about breaking through the lies we tell ourselves to our truth. And, you know, for me, I can share what worked for me. You know, first of all, it was realizing that I came to believe this lie, that I could not trust my own gut instinct. And also understanding my why, like you said, the anchor that makes the lie not worth believing, which is my children. And, you know, for me to live my best life. And then realizing how to replace that lie with the truth. Now, I think for most of us, and this is the key for listeners, is we don't realize the moment we adopted this lie that we've been perpetually telling ourselves. So when we can stop and realize, when did this lie start? That's the first step to realize, because for some of us, it's very, very natural. And we're just continually telling ourselves. And by the way, these lies aren't that creative. The same ones keep popping back up. So we got to recognize it when it happens and choose to replace it with the truth so that we can go out into the world and be who we're supposed to be.
Do you find that some folks may find some comfort in what is recognizable to themselves, and whether it shows up as a lie, whether it shows up as the truth, if you keep playing it back over and over again in your mind, there's some degree of certainty that this is going to be the same narrative that we're going to be thinking of. Do you think there might be some comfort in the same talking track, or the same thinking track rather, that we tell ourselves regardless of it being true or not?
Absolutely. I think we are used to it. You know, when you say comfort, it's just without consciously deciding, we've somehow come into agreement with this, and it becomes a narrative, and we do get comfortable living in that versus breaking through that to a new truth, to the real truth, and to the story. And you know what makes it complicated, Jack, I think sometimes is that there may be some truth interwoven with the lie. There may be some things that, you know, that we are believing about ourselves that maybe there are portions or small parts of that are truth that we need to change and adjust that go along with that big lie. So we really have to be able to look into that and understand it at a deeper level. And sometimes it goes back to years prior. And, you know, for me personally, I grew up with my biological mom who wasn't very nurturing at all. And for me to spend time with her, I often, you know, my spot was at the foot of the bed. She was typically glued to her phone or immersed in watching Wheel of Fortune. And I often felt not very important enough, right? I just felt somewhat invisible. She was supposed to be my rock and my safe place. Didn't really feel like I mattered, and came to believe this lie that I was not important enough. And so the question is for the listeners, what is their lie? And usually it is that we're not something enough. And when did it start? Because that lie probably led to me choosing a life partner that further illustrated that in his choices, that then led to a domino effect of lies for me to believe that I couldn't trust my own gut instinct and decision making, which had to be halted for me to fully live. And so it goes back to kind of connecting those dots and realizing, okay, I didn't even realize that as a kid, I began to believe that. Now, luckily, I had an incredible heart mom, my stepmom, who was in my life from 5 years on, who completely helped me believe differently and overcome that limiting belief. But those things play into our lives moving forward if we don't realize when we came into agreement with them and how to halt that.
Yeah. The implications of one lie, as you've indicated, turns into yet another and yet turns into another. And they're also interwoven. And we get to a point later in life, if we've not understood this or dealt with it when it happened or throughout the journey, we're left with a lot of confusion, feelings that come up to the surface that we're not aware of why they're there. And we get further and further away from what? The truth.
The truth. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think just one last point I want to make about this is that I think there's this general consensus among a lot of folks, and this is not a broad stroke statement. There are folks that are doing the work. Clearly, you're doing the work. There's people out there doing the work, but it can be a painful journey. And I think that to look underneath the hood sometimes to really find out that side of us that we don't share with the world, maybe we don't want to admit to ourselves that this is how we feel or we're thinking a certain way, I think it's just really important to put that magnifying glass on it, because if you can't get to that point and really understand the root of what's going on, the deck is not clear.
And absolutely.
It's going to affect everything we do in life, the people we attract in our lives, as you've indicated. So it has long-lasting impact.
It really does. And I would say, just to add to that, both personally and professionally, it impacts our success in every way.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Agreed. Now, I think you had an interesting story with regard to a ski trip that you had taken with your family. I think it was your son who was feeling a little unsure of himself. And then you jumped in as the mother you are and the full of wisdom that you have. tell us a little bit about what happened on that ski slope and what was the conversation that you had with him that gave him that breakthrough to carry on.
Well, I'll give you the best version of the conversation. There were a lot of great parts, and then there were some where I was just like, oh my gosh, please, I'm down the mountain. But yes, so reflecting back, I would take my children on an annual ski trip. And growing up, my son and I went on our first ski trip at 2 years old. So he had been skiing for a while and longer than his younger sister. And so at this point, he was about 9 years old, and I would say 8 or 9, and his younger sister is 18 months younger, 17 months younger. And so we get to an intermediate steep run, and Kaden, my daughter, just cruises on down the mountain like she's preparing for the Winter Olympics, and Campbell panics at the decline of the slope. And it was just a bit steeper than normal. And he kind of glued himself to the side of the mountain and was just like looking down with fear with those big blue eyes and was not moving forward. Now, as a mom, it's one of those moments that you panic and wish you could clone yourself, because I was torn between skiing after Kaden, who could literally ski right off a cliff without any appropriate fear, and trying to coerce Campbell down the mountain. And so in that moment, you know, he looked at me with those big worried eyes and said, "Mom, why is Kaden such a better skier?" And I said, "Campbell, buddy, you have better ski skills. Kaden just has a different mindset."
Boom.
And it was, you know, there were a lot of conversations in that moment. I mean, we were doing everything from praying on the side of the mountain to having me down the mountain, like, please come down, you know, but truly in that moment, the lesson there is that whether we're on the slopes or off the slopes, our success is primarily based on mindset and what you believe will be. And so, you know, I just encouraged Campbell that he had everything it took. What he was feeling was fear, and he was making the mistake of believing that the fear meant something real. And, you know, we all have 1,000 lies and fears and failures going through our minds all the time, what we can realize is they're mostly not true. A lot of those thoughts, 80% of the, you know, the thoughts are negative and not true.
Yeah.
And so we talked about that. Now, you know, we finally, I mean, I felt like I was in a high stakes negotiation and putting my sales experience into action right then, because we were either going to be permanently glued to the side of the mountain or point the skis downward, which he did. And, you know, I'd love to believe that he learned a lot more than just how to get down the mountain. In fact, after he did it, which took some time, but after it happened, he went up and down, up and down, up and down 5 or 10 more times that same slope that day.
Remarkable. That's remarkable. That is remarkable. What a shift, what a confidence shift that you noticed in him. And it's really amazing too, because they both grew up with the same amount of love, the same amount of support. And, you know, they just view themselves in life just a little differently at that moment in time. And then through your encouragement, which is a blessing, because I think parents should learn to be a little bit more encouraging to their children, not make it about themselves, but make it about their children, and really provide them with what they need so that they can grow and become the best versions of themselves. I think it's really important.
And I agree with you. And I think it's also important to normalize that, you know, that, hey, we all do this and you're just letting fear hold you back, but you've got what it takes. And, you know, that's something, whether we're leading teams or companies or children, to help people realize that those fears or failures are stepping stones to success, and to just shift our mindset around that. Even we would sit at the dinner table and I would ask my kids, what did you fail at today? And the first time I did that, they looked at me like, oh my gosh, did the principal call you? Am I in trouble? What happened? Why are you asking? You know, and they said, nothing, mom, I promise, I didn't do anything. And I said, honey, to both of them, Campbell, Caden, if you didn't fail at anything today, you didn't learn anything. So, you know, it was shifting the way of thinking to, okay, it's safe. It's okay. This is how we grow.
Smart. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's a different way of looking at things. It's failure. Failing forward is what it's really all about. We can never really break through in so many areas of our lives unless we've experienced what it took to get there. It builds character and it builds memory and it builds experience. And one thing that I'll ask you about is, you know, in his case, and for a lot of people that go through some type of event where either they freeze up, or, you know, if they had an accident of some kind and then they had a total epiphany change, their mindset is completely changed. Now they're present. They tell people they love them, you know, like they're walking with pep in their step. But for some, and a lot of life is on remote control for a lot of people. Like our thoughts are on remote control. So how does someone who doesn't have something like that, that you know, hits them in the face and says, hey, you got to break through this fear, how do they recognize that they have mindset challenges that are holding them back in their lives? How do they recognize it if it's not something very clear and apparent to them?
Okay, I have a couple of thoughts, and they're more of examples on that, but I think it really brings the answer to the forefront. One thought with Campbell, I do remember another time where he didn't do something that he let fear stand in the way of trying something new, and other kids were doing it. And when we left, he said, I wish I would have done that. Now, I think everyone can relate to this. And so I would ask, you know, the listeners to think about a time where you wished you would have stepped forward and done something. And if you can remember those feelings, you'll catch yourself doing that more often. But I remember saying to Campbell in that moment, just remember, it's okay that you didn't. We can always go back. And sometimes it takes courage not to do what everyone else is doing, or to say that's just not something you're interested in. But if you really wish you would have, then you probably were letting fear stand in the way. And remember this feeling so that next time you don't. And we did go back and do it. And I will say, I think those types of events where you take that thought captive and realize how you're holding yourself back, those are what helps you remember and catch those moments in the future. And they don't have to be the big events, but those little things, because I will say since then, I mean, we've done the Via Ferrata and Telluride, which is literally clinging to the side of a mountain without anything under to support. He's gone skydiving. I mean, he really will try anything.
Good.
Now for everyone else, another thought, and this might just bring this to the forefront, because we've all had those moments where somebody asks for a volunteer. We've been in a group, we've been in a presentation. When I do a keynote or a workshop, I love to do this because it helps people realize what's happening. So in the beginning, and honestly, Jack, it doesn't matter if it's a room full of CEOs, VPs of sales, thousands of salespeople, it does not matter. The same thing happens. I'll say, hey, just to get us started, may I have a volunteer to step forward? There could be thousands of people or 50 people. Only one person typically will step forward. Mm-hmm. And when they come forward, and I'm sharing this so people can picture themselves in a moment like this, when someone says, I need a volunteer, what are the thoughts that go through your mind? So when the person steps forward, I say, hey, what's your name? Nice to meet you, Jack. Thank you so much. Here's a $100 bill. Thanks for volunteering. That's all I needed. And then very seriously ask the audience, what were you thinking that very moment that caused you to not step forward and collect the $100 bill? And how many times a day do we theoretically hold ourselves back from that $100 bill or whatever the opportunity is because something goes through our mind? And so whether you have had a big experience that changed the way you think or not, every day you could catch yourself in lots of moments like that where something goes through your mind about not being something enough for a situation. And it's taking those thoughts captive and then saying, what could I replace that with? Because as you know, we can rewire the way we think.
We can. It's a tool. Our brains are a tool, and we can choose to use them to work for us or to work against us. It's a choice.
It's a choice.
It is a computer on our necks, right? Ultimately. And so we have a choice in terms of what we browse. We have a choice of what apps we download. We could do the same thing with our brains.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you on that. It is a choice. And I think that's the biggest myth of all is people think they're stuck carrying these heavy lies. Yeah. And it is a choice. None of us are victims. We can choose to not carry those things and, you know, get rid of the heavy.
I always like to say we're not a tree. We're not so rooted and planted in the ground where we can't move.
We can
pivot. We can change. Let's go to your book for a minute, because in your book, Journey to the Top, you discuss peak performance. So what would you say is a common misconception that people might have when they start thinking about achieving their absolute highest potential?
I would say one of the most common misconceptions is that when they decide to do that or they want to focus on that, that they just start working on their skill for whatever area they're trying to achieve peak performance in. And if we think about the best athletes or the best business people, the best salespeople, the best of anything, when we think about what separates the very best, it's typically characteristics around grit, perseverance, determination, character. It's, yes, they were born with this natural talent, but it's the things that they do to self-regulate and self-activate and really think about their self-talk. And those are mindset attributes. They're not skill sets. So the biggest misconception is you just have to keep working on the skill set. If we can unlock the mindset piece, and that's why I'm so passionate about this area, because it really, truly propels us forward to achieve at such a higher level. Yet most organizations spend most of their time developing the skill sets of their people or hire based on skill set and don't consider how to qualify or develop the mindset.
Yeah, I'm that, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of that when you were with Career Builder, and just now being what you know in the work that you're doing. You see that a lot of training programs are skills based, and you know you can learn. Everybody has the capability of learning skill, but if we're not coming from a place of authenticity, a place of feeling comfortable with who we are, that's going to translate in the work that we do. If we're in sales, if we're doing any other work, it's going to translate in a way that's not going to be you in your best light. And so I believe that, and I've been out of school for a while, so I don't know what the traditional schools are teaching these days around mindset and really teaching how to instill confidence in folks. But man, it wasn't around when I was going to school. So, you know, either you had to build street smarts and learn it on your own, or get coaching and, you know, and really just get, you know, level set in terms of what you need to accomplish for yourself in order to feel better and to perform better.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It wasn't around when I went through school either.
Yeah.
And I don't know that. I mean, I think some of this is learned from the mistakes, from the failures, you know, failing forward, as you said, and, you know, the experiences we have in life that we would consider harder experiences, things that may have happened to us, mistakes we may have made. Either way, those are all opportunities to propel us forward if we choose, or to hold us back. And, you know, we are the number one inhibitor or contributor of our own success or happiness.
100%. And I would say to anybody, and my audience knows me, and I always try to give some different perspective on things. I think that for some, it creates some pressure when they start listening to these things. They say to themselves, well, I don't know what's wrong. I am so far away from the truth of who I am that this creates anxiety in me. Totally understand that. Totally get it. What I would recommend to somebody that's in that world is reach out to someone who can help guide you and pull out some of these limiting beliefs, some of these things that are not serving you well anymore. Go for some help. Don't try to figure it out on your own, because think about how long has it been, you know, and is it acceptable to go through another 20, 30, 40 years of life feeling the way that we're feeling? So I think it's incredibly important. There's tons of help. There's a lot of coaching that's available to help guide people. And just as a segue, I want to ask you about something else that is near and dear to my heart, and I know is on the minds of a lot of people, especially people that report to an office, a brick and mortar building, and they sit in a cube or they sit in an office for the whole time. I've been there. I know what it feels like. And I've been very removed from that world. I'm a nomad, and I work in different places. But the concept of work life balance is a super hot topic. How do you approach living intentionally while managing, and you have a lot of balls in the air, your career is on fire. So how do you do it? How do you manage that and keep it all in check?
I love that question, because that is one of the things I am most passionate about as well, is really doing that myself and modeling it, but helping others fully live on purpose with greater purpose. And to me, that's living with intentionality. And you're right. So many of us, whether it's in parenting or business or life, are just kind of going through and letting things happen. And it's almost like trying to get somewhere without a GPS. If you don't know where you're going, how do you know if you've arrived? And so for me, I am very, very intentional about this area. And it starts with mission and values, and then goes to how do you live that out? So for me, it's about defining what do you really want for your life and why? Because the bigger the why, the bigger the try, and the better the how. And you know, everyone talks about setting goals or what are your dreams? But the thing is, 90% of people do not put their goals in writing. And so they have no idea if they've actually achieved them. Or, you know, so I like to look at, for me personally, in terms of living intentionally, there are a couple things. One, I like to look at the whole circle of life. We all, and thank you for the compliment about my career, but we all have all of these little burners, so to speak, or areas of life, whether it's our family, our financial life, our personal growth and development, our fitness, our community involvement. There are many different areas of our lives, our homes, that we need to keep that plate spinning on. So first of all, I like to help people look at and assess where in this overall circle are we in balance or out of balance. Also get rid of the myth that it's ever perfectly in balance. But what happens is sometimes we get so dead set on one area. It could be our spiritual life or our financial life or whatever, that we forget about these other components. So I like to look at it holistically and then think about, in the next 12 months, what's important to me? What's the goal for each of these key areas of my life? And more importantly than the what, why is that important? And then how will I put that into action, which is the more tactical piece of, if I say, the goal is to run a marathon, the why is that I want to be healthy and see my children have children and live a long, prosperous life. The how is I'm going to work out 4 times a week. I'm going to run 3 times a week. I'm going to go on this long run. I'm going to eat like this. It's literally defining it. And then for me personally, I put it in writing, and then every month at the beginning of the month, I calendar the things that I say I want to do. So I go back, I look at my goals, I read my mission, my values, and the goals that are associated to live that out, and put them in my schedule so I actually do them. Because it's one thing to not write it down. Then we can take the step to write it down, but then we could never look at it and put it into action.
Hmm.
And even taking it a step further, if you have an accountability partner or someone to talk to about it, or your partner in life, where you're sharing some of that together, the chances that you're going to work toward those things is much higher. It's okay to change them. It's okay to, but I don't think of goals as like some far out thing I hope I do. It's sort of my commitment to myself in that coming time period that these are the things I am going to set out to do and do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's crucially important for us to honor our commitments. So if we are going to spend some time, whether it be a vision board, which I am a big fan of.
Yes.
Get it out, put it up on the wall. Take a look at what it is, see it every day, set a reminder on the calendar. We use this phone for everything. Well, why don't we send a reminder to ourselves to journal first thing in the morning, or to, tick off the checkbox on one of those line items that are on our vision board.
Yeah. But
you hit the nail on the head, because if we don't have that personal accountability, we're not going to build up the character, and we're not going to effectuate change in our lives. It's just, there's just no way around it. We have to do that if we want to be better in anything that is important to us. Because the alternative is status quo. If that's okay, that's okay too.
Right. And you know what? It is for some people, and that's, certainly their choice. I don't love the status quo, and I don't want average, and I don't want to go through a year of life and look back and have no idea what the purpose behind that was, or what I did to make an impact that year. And I love the vision board. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I did that with my children for the first time a few years ago. It was the coolest experience, but love doing that. And it 84% of learning is visual. So it really does solidify for us what we want our lives to look like.
100%. Yeah, no, that's super powerful. I want to talk about something else here, given the fact that, you are a sales leader. You've been in the sales world for a lot of years. You've done an awful lot. You've managed sales teams. I have a background in sales. I've been in sales all my life as well. Business development. I've done a lot of complex related, more psychology related negotiations on both sides of the table. I've done a lot in that, which led me to the coaching world. What would you say in your mind? How does mindset play a major role in sales success in general, whether it be the individual or the team itself?
I would say it is the most impactful piece of what makes someone successful. Salespeople with a strong mindset think at a higher level, and they're able to, in the moments of, you know, high stakes negotiations, detach emotionally and in a positive way. And I think about that, like think about Sully Sullenberger, like the flight where he saved 155 lives and he was told to go back to LaGuardia. But in that moment, he was able to detach emotionally and think at a higher level. And he decided to land in the Hudson River based on what he believed, when he could be calm and self-regulated and think at a higher level. And so when we learn to engage in that prefrontal cortex thinking, which is really elevating our mindset, thinking at a higher level, achieving that peak performance, we don't all have lives at stake, but in his case, it saved 155 lives. Salespeople who can do that typically sell 38% more, have much greater success, are 300% more creative, 23% more energetic. These stats are coming from this book, The Happiness Advantage, where it talks specifically about that. So the success is so much different. And, you know, the no's don't affect them the same way. It's one no closer to a yes. It's just part of it. And so it elevates them to a whole different level.
Oh, it does. And I love this conversation. And you know, when I was starting my sales career back in the day, there was an expectation, a universal truth that would circulate among sales teams. And that was, and I think to some degree it may be true, but maybe not in your experience with the teams that you're teaching and coaching, that 80% of sales come from 20% of the sales force.
Yeah.
And that's a principle that a lot of people are aware of.
Yeah.
I've never accepted that. I've never felt that was, why settle into something along those lines? It may be truth from a mathematical perspective, but I think the difference is what you're talking about right here is this mindset. It's operating at a higher level. What can you say about that?
Well, what I would say is that is something that is generally stated. It's also a leadership challenge, I would say, right? Because if 80% of the sales are coming from 20% of the team, then we're holding on to C players too long. Mm-hmm. Or not leveling them up, and that's a problem with accepting mediocrity. And then we're sending a whole different message. We're not creating that high performance culture with elite talent that essentially leads to greater success. We should have a team of A and B players that are really contributing to the revenue. And that sends a whole different message. And you know what? People want to be a part of a team like that. And that helps everybody level up and changes the trajectory of their success.
100%. Yeah. And even if you're on a C, if you feel like you're a C player, or you're on a, you know, if that's how it's been labeled or you feel that way, it life is a game of inches. You could make one little adjustment. If you think about an airplane, make one little adjustment while the plane is in the air, and it could take that plane totally in a different direction, way off course, you know. Or you can apply that towards sales and make it work for you. I would love to have you on. We can dive into this topic a little bit more at greater length. Here's another question for you. How can someone identify the next area for growth in their lives and actually take some action once they've identified it? What do they need inside of them to be able to identify it and actually do it?
Well, I would say first the desire, right? Just the want to. Some of us are stuck wanting to want to versus actually wanting to. But sometimes it takes, you know, somebody else to help you see that. So I really love what you said earlier about finding someone to lead you through that process or to guide you or to tell you the truth. And I would say to look at your life holistically and look at the key areas that are really important to you and see what's out of balance. you know, what is the area, not only that you're least satisfied with, but the area, more importantly, that you think if you adjusted, as you said, you know, even the small little inches would make you even more successful, would propel you forward even further. And then find a mentor in that area. Find a podcast, a book, a mentor, some, you know, something that provides you support and growth. And then make a commitment. Okay, this is what I want to grow in. This is why, and here's how I'm going to do it.
Yeah, A, B, and C.
Right. It's a commitment. I mean, we can all do it. This is the thing. The thing that separates those who succeed most from those who do not is whether or not they have a growth mindset. And that starts with the desire. And, you know, I think of that like living in the solutions room versus the situation room. The fixed mindset individuals are stuck in the situation room, just complaining about this area of life, whatever it may be, or the challenge before us professionally. We've got to get out of that and go to the solutions room and think about how we can impact that, whether it's in our own life or something that is within our business life. If we come to the table with a growth mindset, it makes an incredible difference in our success and propelling us forward to maximize our success and live fully.
Yeah. Yeah. It's looking through life through a lens that's more adaptive versus one that's, you know, single focused or as you said, fixed. And I meet a lot of folks that are so flexible in their lives and they're bobbing and moving. And that's, I love that fluidity because they're going to achieve the things that they want to achieve. And then I also talk with people who they're just fixated on one way or the highway. And that's a difficult place to be. If we're not learning, we're not living. And I just feel that life is beautiful. And as long as we remain curious, we can accomplish so much. We really can.
I agree. I love the curiosity component. I think that's what makes us have that growth mindset. That's necessary for that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I agree with you. Jamie, time has flown by here, and I want to respect your time. I appreciate you coming to the show. Before we wrap up, though, because you've given a lot of golden nuggets here, is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with? Any tidbits, any wisdom from you at this stage?
I have one thought that I would love to share, and it would be to think of your mindset like a garden. We all have rocks, those big, heavy experiences that have happened in our lives that maybe created the lies that we tell ourselves. And we all have some weeds. Maybe it's the unpleasant experiences that support those lies. And we all do have a beautiful life of flowers. As you said, life is beautiful. And so we truly, I think the biggest myth is that we're stuck with the rocks and the weeds. But the garden is ours. We can choose to throw the rocks out of our garden. We can choose to stop watering the weeds and choose only to water the flowers, the things that we wish to grow and replicate. And so I would just leave with that thought of what do you want to throw out of your garden and what do you want to water so it grows with deep seeds of truth?
Yeah, I read that about you. That's a terrific analogy, the garden concept. And I think that some rocks are important to keep inside the garden because that those rocks, if they're providing you with a foundation of strength and confidence and stability, I think all gardens have some degree of hardscape in them. And then, like you said, all the beauty that you need to water and you need to tend.
Yes. And you know what? I love what you just said, because if you can change the rocks from being heavy and holding you back to just being stable and providing you the character and growth you needed to overcome that lie, that's a completely different perspective.
Amen. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Jamie Crosby, everyone. Jamie Crosby, thank you so much for sharing your insights today, your experiences with us. Everything that you've shared and what you've accomplished and what you continue to accomplish, your personal overcoming your personal challenges to empowering others, to me is so remarkable. And I'm confident that our listeners today, the viewers of the show, have gained some insight to maybe just make a little bit of a shift in their lives to foster some long-term change. And what we're going to do is we're going to give people an opportunity to be able to find you. You got a TEDx talk coming. We want to put links in there when it goes live. But in the meantime, everybody, make sure that you visit Jamie. You can go to her website at jamiecrosby.com. We will also include her LinkedIn and other social media sites for you in the show notes. And one thing I'll leave you all with here, and again, I want to thank you all for tuning into Mindset Reinvented, but remember, and I always ask this at the end of all my shows, if you found value in today's conversation, and I've got to believe that you did, please, please, please share this show with someone who may benefit from it. You may not know if they're going to benefit from it, and that's okay. We just never know what somebody needs to hear today. And just pay it forward when you can. So thank you for listening and tuning in. And Jamie, thanks again for your participation today. We really appreciate you.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You betcha. Bye for now.
This is Mindset Reinvented.